Today's episode has been brought to you by Fairway Market. For more information, visit www.fairwaymarket.com.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. We're your hosts, Greg and Darren Bresnitz. That was just Outlaws by Drop the Lime, who is returning to us 120 episodes later.
Boom. Is that full circle?
Can we do Drop or Luca? How do we want to do this today? Oh, yeah.
I got my mouth full.
Yeah, we've also honed the craft of asking people questions when they have their mouths full.
Luca.
Okay. Luca was our first guest back in August 2009, before we even had a theme song. So
before we had a pager,
we were trying to figure out when a good time would be to bring him back on, and with his record coming out tomorrow, it seemed like a good time.
It's okay.
Yeah. So, but first, we'd like to welcome John Woods from Nighthawk Cinema. He's
thanks
a co-cinema director. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for the pizza.
Yeah. Thank you for actually opening up a movie theater in Williamsburg.
Yeah, we're all super happy about that. Yeah.
Thanks.
We because before that, the closest option you had was hopping the L train to 14th, which is the belly of the beast, I would say.
Or you after the Commodore closed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you could hit BAM, but
yeah.
You guys, but now
it's a bit of a hike.
It's a bit of a hike. None of it is as good as that. And we were talking before how it's kind of like the perfect first date where, like, drinks, movie, dinner, And you can kind of, and if you're kind of nervous or like shy, you can kind of roll concise, it onto one. Yeah, you don't have to have any of that weird like walking time where you got to have conversation.
Good talking points with the pre-show and, you know, oh, hey, what do I think about this?
Yeah.
But before you opened up Nighthawk Cinema, you've been around New York, Williamsburg specifically, for a while. Yeah. And many may recognize you as the co-founder of Real Life Video back in 97.
Yeah.
For those who weren't around for that, tell us about Real Life Video.
Well, that was Joe Martin and myself. I was in a band called Hell No With at the time, and we toured a lot, and you know, had to quit our jobs every time we went out traveling and stuff. And then basically, like, that was the whole genesis of it. And we had recorded out here at Excello in like 95, and we used to go to this place, the Lizard's Tale, on South 4th. Like, the Citizens Arrest played there, Joe's previous band. So we had been coming out here a bunch, and it was cheap, and we used to call it Avenue E, Bedford Avenue, because, you know, it was, everybody was getting pushed out of Manhattan with the rent and everything. So, and we just took our collective VHS collections and did it. You know, we just built the shelves ourselves. You could, anybody who was ever in there could easily tell that it was not a very professional job with regards to the carpentry, but the movies were great.
Now, could you just do that? You could just open up your own rental place? There was no laws about...
No, I mean,
copyright or things like that.
Just get a tax ID, and you know, that's it. I mean, you know, you're buying the movies, so that's how it works. You're buying, back then, new releases were, you know, $70-$80, so.
Yeah, don't you remember like West Coast Video? They'd be like, buy it on VHS for $109. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's what it was back then, and then that's when everything changed in 2000 when everything came out at $9.95 or $14.95. So nobody's renting anymore.
Was that the writing on the wall?
Well, it came a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like late. Probably like 06, 07, I kind of saw it was not really something that was built for the future. So I had the, I wanted to do something like Nighthawk is, for a long time, but I just didn't, it was the kind of thing where I didn't have the resources to do it the way that I thought it needed to get done. So I had tried for a couple of years, different people and different places and everything, but it just would kind of fall apart. And then I met Matthew Vera, who's the owner of Nighthawk, and we kind of, after I had kind of given up on doing it, met him and randomly, and then it kind of clicked, and it happened pretty rapidly after that.
I mean, that building is perfect. So, like, what was it beforehand? I just don't remember what it was.
It was a warehouse, and then everything on top is new. The only thing that's original is that yellow brick wall on the front. But it was I believe it was a warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty like unpopulated area, like until recently.
So you opened that, and then like how quickly did people respond to this?
It took a while. I mean, people liked it, but I don't think, some people didn't really get it at first. They're like, is this a movie theater? You know, that was really one of my main things, was that it had to be known as a movie. It is a movie theater. You know, that's what drives everything. I mean, it's, you know, we all, anybody, you know where you make your money and stuff, but that's really what it needs to be known as, a movie theater that's film driven, and that's it. Like, not private dining or any of that stuff, just like a proper movie theater that happens to have alcohol and restaurant.
Well, let's talk about the alcohol, because you guys went up against 80-year-old law.
Yeah,
That had to be. Do you want to tell people about that and like the process of how you went about overturning it?
It was an old law, and we speculate it was just two different groups of people who owned theaters in New York back in the 30s that were, one was trying to, you know, put the Vinnie Blumbots on the other one. So that this law, we saw the faction was written in pen at the bottom. It was a last minute thing. So. And the time felt like it was right to do it. And
what was the law? What couldn't you do?
You couldn't. It said specifically you couldn't have alcohol in a motion picture theater. Like, very, very specific. So, you know, if you had a theater that had opera or plays, you're good. Which, you know, it still is like that. Always was like that. So it was a motion picture theater, which was like, back then was vaudeville theaters, showed movies. And I guess they felt like it was hurting their business. Who knows, you know?
Was it difficult to overturn?
Yeah, it wasn't a straight shot, but, you know, the lawyer that Matthew was working with recommended a lobbyist, and it was just the right time to do it, because you have other, you know, they do it in New Jersey, they do it in Massachusetts, they do it in Connecticut, they've been doing it down south for years.
Yeah, Alamo Draft House.
Exactly, Alamo Draft House. It wasn't make or break, but it was pretty important to be able to do that, because it's, you know, why not, you know?
Well, I mean, you're only having people drink it before, and then they go in, and you're just kind of losing that.
Exactly. And then some movies you really need to be a little bit tipsy.
Yeah. Like which ones?
Solaris.
I remember I went to go see Lord of the Rings 2 without seeing the first one.
Yeah.
And I think 2 hours in, I'd been drinking steadily, and I was like, I have no idea what's going
on. Yeah, I mean, but in Europe, it's always been that way. And I remember I met my wife in Berlin back in the 90s, and when I was on tour, and the theaters over there, you can all do it. So you'd see a movie that was... you know, maybe okay, but it's elevated if you yeah, you're in the right frame of mind. Yeah, yeah, makes it more fun.
And then how does it tie into like the so you? I mean, you start off with just a few movies, and I've noticed like over the last 6 months or so, you've really like rolled out almost all day programming, especially on the weekends.
Well, we're a new release theater, like first run, so we're committed to show the say Moonrise Kingdom or Drive, whatever the new movie is at the time, new movies in this case. To show them, you know, at certain showtimes. So, and I really want to do a lot of repertory programming and more events and stuff. So, what the solution to that was we just started doing midnights and then brunch screenings. So that's, you know, we're not committed to show anything at that time. So brunch theme, put a theme in for the month.
How do you pick your themes for brunch? And do people show up in Williamsburg for like a noon movie?
They really do. Yeah, I mean we were showing new release at brunch and it really wasn't, people really weren't responding. So just as an experiment, I programmed a month of like ones that I figured it's a good cross the board, you know, see if people are going to come out for it. And the first one happened to be Breakfast Club, and it was gangbusters, you know. Add another show.
What did you guys serve food wise for it?
Oh, just, you know, I mean, typical brunch stuff. You know, we do that a lot. We have like a food or a drink special that's kind of curated or inspired by the movie. But for that one, just show that movie. It's like you can sit on your couch and watch it, or you can come to the theater and
it's fun. It's an event because a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't feel like getting up, I'll just go to the
also too. A lot of people haven't seen these movies projected, you know, up on a big screen, and it's different experience seeing something that you've seen maybe, you know, 10, 15 times over the years. Seeing it up on a big screen is
and with a bunch of people and things like that.
Totally, yeah.
And what about the midnight ones? I'm assuming the midnight screenings are not as summery or poppy or light.
You can get a little more like hardcore with those. The ones people love is like anything horror, anything that's like kind of exploitation. That's, you know, that's the stuff that people, we just had Predator last weekend, and that was sellouts and everything too. So that's kind of stuff that's more fun, and that is more geared toward the people who take advantage of the alcohol freedom.
the alcohol freedom. All right,
and other stuff too. Yeah,
we're gonna play a track, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about menu creation and movie selection, and we're gonna talk about the live jazz silent movie screenings that you guys do as well.
Yeah. And also, can we talk about those intros? Because I love getting to your theater early.
Because
those first 25 minutes, it's a whole part of the experience.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a track by a band called Indians who are out of Copenhagen called I Am Haunted. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. Stick around. We have Drop the Line Live playing live in studio. Here we go.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market. Whether you are cooking for one or for a crowd, Fairway Market literally has everything you need for a fantastic meal. But if you don't feel like cooking, no worries, they cater. Check out fairwaymarket.com for more information, and be sure to check the new blog, On Our Plate, for weekly specials, health tips, and recipes. It's too late to walk away. What's the see.
I really like that song.
Yeah, it's like dreamy summer pop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I like my stuff a little bit more loud and in your face during the summer.
It depends. I mean, if you're hungover, you're going to just like throw on Dependroids.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to be throwing on Dependroids this summer. We're here with John Woods, co-cinema director of Nighthawk Cinema, and we are talking food and movies and how awesome it is that you guys are just here in the neighborhood.
So let's talk menu creation along with the new releases. Like, how much time do you need to give the chef heads up versus like when you know movies are coming down the line?
If it's like a event screening, you have some time, but with the new stuff, sometimes it's kind of on the fly. You don't know what you're going to get because we have to wait sometimes, like a week after Manhattan gets it, or we're still the new guys, so it's, you know, band might get it before we do. So we find out Monday, Friday, you have to get something, and then you have to get a drink and a. I mean, that's you know.
Is it like a democratic situation or the bartenders, like, this is what we're going to drink and this is what we're going
to
serve?
I make suggestions with regards to naming it. That's a lot of fun, but, you know, I'm not a professional chef.
Give us some examples of movies and the drinks and food that was inspired in the names, because they're always good puns.
Well, the drive. That's
the drive.
We still keep it on there.
Yeah, I was going to say
Gosling's rum and Gosling's, you know, ginger beer. So
it's so amazing.
That
blew my mind.
Yeah, we didn't think very long about that. we're going to do a thing in August. We're going to have Smokey and the Bandit with a live band. The Gentleman Callers play before. We're going to have, you know, maybe a bucket of Coors and then grilled ham and cheese. You know. Texas Toast, something like that.
Let's talk about the live music, because you did the first one, I think, was with Buster Keaton. That was one of the first ones, right?
Yeah.
Just tell people. I mean, it's just amazing because you have they play live along to it, and
it's kind of the way they used to do it with piano player or whatever. But having the whole band in there, we had a guy Hayes Greenfield does some of them, and then the one that Morricone Youth does did Fascination. That's the Jean Rollin, like, French lesbian vampire movie. And that's the one that people really.
I love
kind
that
of,
genre.
Yeah,
it's such a good genre.
French lesbian vampire. Yeah,
way.
I know you are.
It's kind of a general one, but, you know.
Yeah,
there's a few films, but they've done stuff before. They did stuff for Fascination. They did something for a movie called Sunrise, and hopefully we're gonna have them in August to that animated French movie Fantastic Planet. So it's as long as it's, you know, visually oriented, then it's great, because it's just a. It's a unique thing, and really, it's with silent films and other things. Fascination is a silent film, but you can just turn the subtitles on, and they kind of weave in and out of the original soundtrack and everything. So,
do you like the curating the more obscure movies versus the main blockbuster ones, or are you sort of split down the middle?
I mean, one thing I learned with the store, from having the store, is that, you know, it's more what plays, what people like. It's not about my specific taste. You know, the stuff that I love, that I really love to watch at home, or
what do you love?
Like, I'm a huge fan of Joseph Strick, who's pretty, you know, it's kind of obscure, but I know that you could play that stuff and it just wouldn't work at our place with, you know, or, you know, a lot of the more depressing documentaries I like, you know, was, you know, that's kind of like, you have to realize it's not really, can't be too academic, you know. So.
Do you find those similar themes with, like, music and even to extent food, where it's like there are these things that you love, but you could never play?
I think that's what you try to do. Is what you see with the video store is you show somebody, you know, somebody's like, I can't watch subtitles, or I can't watch foreign films, and then you, all right, give me 6 months with you, and you can kind of sit there and soften them up and show them things that are kind of be a little bit of a gateway. And then
how do you gateway into subtitles?
Day for Night's a good start. That's the Truffaut one.
Okay.
That version of that. That's about filmmaking, so that's a good thing. And there's ones like The Final Combat. It's Luc Besson's first feature, the guy that did The Fifth Element. That has no dialogue, but it's, you know, very, it's that's one to start off with. You know, it's kind of like learn how to look at the film and not really sit there and, like, worry about reading all the time, you know. You could still get it, and, you know, you get better at reading subtitles as it goes on. Breathless is a good one. That's the Jean-Luc Godard one. And,
love Breathless.
Yeah, it's all good stuff.
Easy on the eyes.
Yeah, it's
all around.
It's such a beautiful film.
All around.
Great soundtrack, and then, you know, a few months later, you can transition into watching something like, you know, Merchant of the Four Seasons, like Fassbender, or something that's more challenging in his foreign language. And
big words.
Yeah, but again, too, it's like I love Lethal Weapon. You know, I love. It's all good. You know.
Do you ever tell them, like, just turn on like English film with English subtitles, just to kind of start like the practice?
Or to see where they make mistakes and phrase it wrong. Well, then, like Trainspotting or Naked, you might need the English subtitles.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the menu there. That's all the time, because I really like what you guys have on there, and I think you have a. Who designed it? Who's your chef? I see you use Empire Mayo and other local products.
Yeah, we started out with one chef, Saul Bolton, who's kind of got us started and everything. But we don't, he's not with us anymore. But basically it's like, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, we have the staples and everything, but they're really creative with, you know, with doing different things and keeping it fresh and stuff like that. So
what's your perfect pairing? What movie is out now and what would you have at your own theater?
Well, I mean, Moonrise Kingdom and a carafe of wine would be a good combination.
Oh, that's a perfect date. Yeah, that's a home run. Yeah. Two carafes of wine, right?
Yeah, we're a full bottle.
A full bottle.
We could do that, too.
So let's talk about the opening segments, because I actually come...
I come early.
I come early to watch...
This is the real in the 20. But you're usually in the 25 or 35, right? You guys have long openings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, the pre-show is like it's a home for stuff that relates to the feature somehow, whether it's a short film or like maybe the director did a television commercial like years ago or a music video. So it's, or even if it's not anything that literal, it's something that's the goal is to have the person, whether they've seen the movie or not, to have like some information about the film. You know, whether they get it or not, they're going to get it once the film starts. Something that relates to it in one way or the other, and it kind of just makes the experience better. And also, too, it's a, you know, one of the main things is like short films. You know, I judge in the film festival for a long time, and there's great short films out there that you see year after year, and you just know it's like, unless the director makes a feature or gets something out on DVD, you're just never going to see that short again. They don't get seen outside of festivals that much, you know? So to show short films that are really worthwhile, like in a theater, to a non-festival, like non-filmmaker crowd, it's great, you know?
Now, do you own a lot of this material, or are you pulling it from YouTube?
It's really, people approach us with stuff like film, a lot of filmmakers and everything, and
the obscure commercials and things like that.
That stuff, I mean, we wouldn't take something if we thought that somebody owned it. And again, we're not, you know, charging for this stuff. It's free content.
You're not on trial here. We're big fans.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no. Huge fans. No.
You never know.
Huge fans.
We're sitting down with.
But the one for Drive was also like exclusive one. Like all the chase scenes, like
including that one shot driving scene through is the streets of Paris.
Oh yeah, that's what
was that from?
Claude Lelouch. It's a movie called Rendezvous. And he had a camera. He wanted to test out for a movie called Le Mans, you know, with Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
So he just strapped a camera onto his Mercedes, and
it's nonstop.
And he blows lights. It's like you watch the thing in the theater, and it's pretty incredible.
And there's no sound, right?
No.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, there is sound. There's
the car.
The motor.
The motor. No, but I'm saying
we put a track over it to kind of make it a little bit less, you know, more palatable for.
But he's just. It's amazing.
There are definitely times when I wish I knew what I was watching to take notes and go back and follow up on that.
Yeah, well, you could always ask me.
That's true. Well, now that we know each other.
Yeah.
So what do you have coming up for the rest of the summer? You know, Beat the Heat with you guys at Nighthawk,
the,
right?
The theme for brunch this month is July is Screaming Big Screen Technicolor, and that's like Forbidden Planet, Leave It to Heaven, like these older movies that were all shot in Technicolor, which amazing. Is just up on the screen. It's pretty gorgeous. And the midnight theme is Hot Town, Summer in the City, and that's like Taxi Driver, 48 Hours, The Exterminator, you know, that's the real like kind of sweaty urban, you know,
makes you feel
good.
Hot.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff for good. That's midnight, you know. That's kind of something that fits for midnight.
And what blockbuster are you looking forward to the most this summer? All franchise, summer. All everything.
It's hard to say because I don't know like what we're going to be able to get, you know?
Yeah, but no, more personally.
I'm looking forward to Django Unchained. It's the Tarantino.
Oh, that looks great.
That's not until Christmas, but that's the one that I'm actually most thinking about right now.
That's really good.
That looks really cool. So there's a trailer out there for it now that
Prediction,
looks really cool.
Predictions for final Batman installment?
That's a tough call. Those things are such feast or famine affairs, those Batman movies, you know? They're either... I mean, I love The Dark Knight. The second one I wasn't so keen on, so hopefully this one will be a good one.
You can never tell what the middle piece is, how they play into like the final ones. Like you never know where they.
Yeah, I mean, look at Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
You know, everyone saw like Empire Strikes Back, and everyone's like,
or the Road Warrior in Thunderdome. You know,
yeah, that's like, fuck these movies, and now they're like,
humongous disappointment in my life, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that up there, top five?
It's beyond movies. It's just a huge disappointment. You know.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to give people the Nuts and Bolts website.
Yeah, it's www.nighthawkcinema.com, and we're located at 136 Metropolitan Avenue between Berry and Wythe.
And don't forget, Nighthawk is N-I-T-E.
N-I-T-E-H-A-W-K.
And correct. Also, sign up for the newsletters, because I get them, and it's pretty great. It's
newsletters, you can find out what we're doing. There's a blog you can get posted to. We post content on there all the time. So.
And I think everyone here can sign off that it is a great date spot.
Yeah.
I think
fantastic.
So. If I get to
fantastic.
Go there more often, I could... give you some reconnaissance, but I don't see very many movies there.
And you guys have any plans to do you know, full tasting menus paired with movies and
things like that? We just check the website. We have a lot of stuff coming up in the late summer, early fall. We're going to be doing more food oriented stuff for sure. That's a big event in September. We're going to be unleashing soon. So
amazing. Awesome. Well, we'll check with Leah. Shout out to the PR person.
Shout out to the PR person.
Always shout out to the PR people. What do we got? What do we got going on?
I just want to let people know about the Criff Dog Classic.
Oh, it's gonna be crazy.
So this Wednesday for 4th of July, Roberta's is hosting the first annual Criff Dog Classic. It's a multiple fare eating contest featuring none other than Kobayashi.
Kobayashi,
who was
who I heard now is ripped. I heard he's like jacked.
Wasn't he always?
No, he was like doughy.
Was he?
Yeah. Now he's.
For those unaware, he was.
It's hard to compete with Joey Chestnut's physique.
Yeah.
He refused to enter the international competitive eating concentration, so he was banned from Nathan's.
I heard he wouldn't sign an exclusive contract.
He wouldn't sign exclusive because the man wants to eat where he wants to eat. Yeah. So
I can respect that.
Last year he was on, I think, the roof of Barry Park doing his own, but now it's become rolled into the no hot dog bun. Pun intended. The Criff Dog Classic, and you can get tickets still. The password for discount is Bushwick.
You seem so disappointed, but where is it?
It's here. It's at Roberta's. It starts at 11 a.m. The eaters are called at 11:30, so it's an early one. But
and there's a you can enter the mini hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, you can enter. I mean, it's a whole day. Maybe not for the kids.
We'll be DJing.
We'll be DJing
and drunk.
Can you DJ and enter?
Yeah.
Ones and twos and hot dogs.
The ringer.
They didn't call them the platters that matter if you can't eat off of them, right?
Wow. All right, music break. Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to play a couple songs. I always love playing this song when it turns summer, even though I totally missed it. It's called by Matt Pond, PA, called Summer's Coming, and then off the new Pretty Ring record, Fine Shrine, and then we got Drop the Lime live, full live this time. Last time you played like a minute on the guitar. Like, hear me. Yeah, but
which was our unknown prelude to having live bands on here.
Yeah. We call that foreshadowing in the biz. So here we go, and we'll be back live on Snacky Tunes.
Summer is on us, the handle is hers. Forever. shrine in me. You build a final shrine in me.
We are passing out beers, and
it just got louder. Beers came in and infinite got louder.
Yeah.
Hey, was that a remix?
I put my own drop in.
Yeah.
Speaking of drops, we got Drop the Lime.
What?
In studio. Welcome back to the show. Only about a few years later, but
25 years later.
Yeah. It's weird. We just came invited to hang out because like nothing's going on, right?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
I was chilling on my couch. I ordered Domino's, but then I was like, what am I doing? I should go to Roberta's.
Yeah, and then you're like...
I heard you were in the second hour of waiting in line to get in the McCarran pool.
Yeah, I was at the end of the line.
You're like...
end of the line.
Did you drop the line?
I did. I dropped the line. I got my... Look at me. I'm in my shorts, my flip-flops.
Yeah, I've never
seen... I'm in my swim gear right now. Yeah.
Some floaties? I've never seen black floaties before.
Black floaties, man. One of a kind.
Yeah. T on one side, B on the other. They're great. Order them for your kids. Trouble and bass floaties.
Yeah.
Patrick, write this down.
I get 10%.
Yeah.
10%.
I'll give you 10 points off the other.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Tomorrow, record comes out.
Big day.
Like 10 years later.
10 years later. I mean, let's... Okay, so when you were here last... Hear Me was the single.
Wow, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so, and if anybody wants to go hear Luca play acoustic version of Hear Me, you can go back to our very first episode and hear it.
I don't know if I want to hear me.
You didn't. You didn't, because when I sent it to you, I was like, what do you think about... You're like, this is not going on a comp. You're like, no fucking way, dude. The official PR tag was like, it's past its cycle, and I was like, oh, I'm sure that's what it is.
I know.
Yeah.
You can hear me.
Yeah, so that's going... No. just keep setting yourself up. So let's talk about what happened. Just take us through.
Yeah, let me take you through. I refound my love and passion for rockabilly and blues. I mean, I started out playing guitar, so really the whole DJ thing took over, and then I wanted that human kind of rock and roll attitude back into my music, so I started playing guitar again and adding it into remixes. So it was like I did a remix for MNDR, for Willie Moon. And after doing these remixes, I started making original tunes again.
You know, as someone who's known you for a while and seen your path, like, you definitely could have just continued on that path that you're on, like the 4x4
wobble
type of room. But like, what was it, the decision where it's like, did you see like it was just you fell in love with it, or you saw like it could only go so far? Like, what was the decision as an artist to change?
I make music because I love music, so I'm constantly inspired to evolve. So I'm always taking in whatever's new. I'm always hungry to find whatever's new and changing the game, changing sounds, and that's always an influence on me. So it's just only natural that I'll evolve forever. I mean, in 5 years, I probably will sound a lot different than the way I sound now.
How has, you know, fan response been to the change?
Oh, it's insane. I love it. I've stirred up a pot of boiling madness.
Yeah, like...
I've got, like, so many new fans who didn't even know I existed. And then I have a lot of fans who... I mean, I'm really lucky because I have such a unique approach to music and constantly changing and pulling from different influences. I'm lucky that I have diehard fans who will follow me. And they're always very supportive.
Have you gotten any haters?
Oh, of course. Everyone's got haters.
Haters gonna hate.
haters gonna hate. And,
second single
and you know
off
what?
The album.
You know, the joke's on them because they're putting a lot of energy into hating.
Yeah. A lot of energy.
Still
hating.
Attention. Still attention.
Yeah,
to me.
That's true. Let's hear a song. You
haters?
Got that?
Yeah,
haters.
Haters. Fourth, fifth, and seventh track off of the new record.
It's a little ditty called Bandit Blues. You got a cold heart, baby, and I was ready to burn all of your love into the urn. Ashes to ashes, bones to bones, my fever runs dry, 'cause your heart is so cold. This city's falling down on me. Oh, I'll kiss, I'll cut, I do not tell. And when they lie, I'll shine the shells. I sip my whiskey to the bullet teeth. I sold my soul and I kept the receipt. Your lovin's got sting, your lovin's got soul. And all I keep asking myself is why I want more. This city's falling down on me. Whoa.
How much did you sell your soul for?
I kept the receipt, but I actually lost it.
It's filed somewhere. Fire that intern. So, how do you make when you're writing the new songs, figure out like what stays, you know, real and what, you know, becomes electronic?
Yeah, everything, especially on the album, everything is written on guitar first. And then I added beats in. Basically, I would write the song, record myself, and then remix myself. So I'd be like chopping my voice up, and yeah, I'd take a remix approach, and then that's what made it electronic.
Got it. And how did the dance with Ultra go?
How did it go down?
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy. Like we've been dancing for a while, and I think really I released Hot as Hell single, might be 2 years now, on Ministry of Sound, and Ultra found out about me through that, and they wanted to license it in U.S. and I didn't even think about doing a full-length as Drop the Lime, but Waxman and Patrick Moxey at Ultra were like, all right, so we're going to do this, you know, four-album deal. And I was like, what?
What? What? You're like, of course.
Yeah. Well, okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it.
And does Trouble and Bass get the imprint on it, or is it...
I mean, yeah, we work very hand-in-hand together, and Ultra's very... supportive of the whole branding of Trouble and Bass, and you know, the fact that the whole lifestyle and attitude that I've created with the whole crew of Trouble and Bass and our parties, they really help keep that and maintain that because they know that it's a part of Drop the Lime.
That's amazing. So now you've switched from being a one man DJ act to having a band.
A band.
Yeah, it's crazy.
People gotta wake up. You got drummers, bass players. Who's playing drums with you?
We got, DQ, Lil Tuna over here.
what's it like?
If you heard those harmonies,
what's it like being on the road with, I mean, you've always been on the road with the Trouble and Bass family, but I know that you've done stretches by yourself. But,
yeah.
But now you have a crew. Is that a lot of fun?
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, it's like having a whole team with you makes it more of an adventure. And you know, when you tour a lot alone, all the adventures and crazy stories are only experienced by yourself. So it's easy to lose those memories. But if you have a whole team and family with you, then it's much easier to remember these moments.
Especially when you can't remember them.
Yeah. Especially, yeah.
Do you travel with a scribe? Write this down.
Write this down!
Write this down! How much fun am I having?
It's important. It's important to document everything.
But do you still take the charge on food?
Oh. Food is...
Tell me some food. So for Luke and I...
Food and cocktails. Yeah.
Where Luke and I first met was on the side of a road in L.A. when I picked him up from the airport to do a Colt 45 Vice tour. And we got in the car and it was the only one where it was just one other guy. And I was like, okay, I just got to ask you, like, are you the type of guy that likes to, like, sleep in and, like, not do stuff? Or are you the type of guy that, like, get up early to go get breakfast? And you're like, oh, I'm the type of guy that likes to get up early and go breakfast. And we... pretty much spent the entire time eating.
We smashed it. Yeah. It's an extremely memorable tour.
Yeah,
I mean,
and shout out to Miss Ann's. If you're in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and you can go to Miss Ann's Snack Shack and go to the Ghetto Burger, like,
it is,
I cannot believe,
phenomenal.
If she's not there, she's not going to be there pretty soon.
Yeah,
it's the best.
I remember us. We, you know, it's like a diner.
Yeah,
this place holds maybe.
It holds nine people.
Yeah, nine people.
Four on one side, five on another.
Yeah, and she's cooking behind the counter. And I remember you and I went, and we weren't sure. Did we wait outside? We waited outside.
We walked inside, got yelled at. Yeah. Outside.
Very strict.
Was it one of those places where you knew you didn't know the protocol?
It was so clear.
So
we were like,
it was so clear. Walked in.
We were not.
Get out.
Out of the loop. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Get out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get out.
It was literally like 90 minutes to get a burger each, but from like when we showed up to
hand,
two big patties. Hand patties, bacon dropped in by hand, pulled out by hand. She had like scarred chili, fries, lettuce, tomato, and was like $7.25.
Yeah,
and then we crawled to Treasure Fingers' house and coma out on the couch. That's, we had to go get salads that night because we were like, if we eat a salad, this will like help get some
cancel
of the
out.
Yeah, it'll cancel
our
out.
Arteries were screaming. Our arteries were like red ants. It was a mess.
I want to hear another song, and then when we get back, while you're playing, think about some like the food adventures with the crew.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
we definitely had some.
Okay, you're listening to Drop the Lime live on Snacky Tunes.
Devil's eyes. It's been too long since I've seen the sunrise. Let it bleed right down into the night. I've seen the devil in the devil's eyes. I've seen the darkness and the darkness arise. I've seen the darkness and the darkness arise. Let it bleed right down into the light. I've seen the devil in the devil's eyes. Devil's eyes. It's been too long since I've seen the sunrise. Let it bleed right down into the light. I've seen the devil and the devil's eyes. I've seen the darkness and the darkness arise. I've seen the darkness and the darkness arise. Let it bleed right down into the light. I've seen the devil and the devil's eyes. Can't you see? Angels have run into the dark and out of the sun. Open your eyes to the stars. Enter the night and last forever.
Woo. Woo. Do you rework a lot of your old songs to be played live at the new show?
Yeah, like, especially Devil's Eyes right there. It's been like 10 versions of that.
And about a dozen remixes.
We've done like honky-tonk versions, country.
But that's fun, though.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, especially Devil's Eyes, it's been with me for like 5 years. And it started out as something that I would sing just over my DJ sets and evolved over time. And on the album that's coming out tomorrow, there's a new version of it as well.
Let's talk about the album for a second. Give us a rundown. What can we expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of my love for electronic music, my love for bass, combined with my love for rock and roll, and basically like Western kind of bandit outlaw music, so very Ennio Morricone influenced.
Now, is this like a new side to persona, or is it just incorporated into the current Drop the Lime?
This is something that's always been me. You know, it's something that I never felt comfortable or ready to incorporate it with Drop the Lime, but it's always been Luca. It's always been.
So it's a progression, unless
it's a progression,
not a side project.
Are you still a villain in your own story?
I'm always a villain in my own story.
All right, so let's talk about some food adventures that you've had with the band.
Let's do it.
Well, I don't know.
I know you're a big fan of Italian food. Huge fan of Italian food.
I heard you like
Huge
Italian.
I like Italian. You know what? I don't like it out so much.
Okay.
You like cooking, right?
I like cooking it. We're going out. I got a real good one. Okay. I got a real good story. That involves DQ.
Okay.
Involves drummer man over here. Do you know which one it is?
Is it
Thai? Yes, it is! So, all right. So we did a tour. We did Stereosonic Tours, a live band in Australia. You know, we're talking wild times. It's Australia. Time. We got LMFAO as the headliner. You know, it's wild. Right. It's, you know, we're party rocking. We're getting down.
Wiggle.
You know, we're doing it. We're doing our thing. There's this Thai spot in Sydney. Remember a name?
Like spicy Thai or something.
Call something crazy, like
something really simple. I think it's spicy Thai.
Let's call it spicy Thai.
Okay.
I think it is. But,
yeah. Wait, no, it is. It's
spicy.
Yeah, I am spice. Shout out to Sydney and I am.
Yeah, we got there.
Shut up.
So yeah. Like,
where's the scribe?
They should have had this written down.
Scribe.
Oh, he's eating pizza. He's too busy eating pizza right now. Yeah, so, we went there. It's small. It's a really small spot, but delicious. Everyone's, oh, you got to go to that spice. Oh, man, yeah, listen, bro, you got to go to that spice. Okay, so we go, and we're like, yeah, get spicy. Let's get spicy. Well,
DQ.
DQ, a.k.a. Lil Tuna.
Shit was spicy.
He was sweating, burning his face. We're eating, we're getting down.
This
we're
place?
Eating good food. And he, yeah.
Spice I am. Scribe
came.
I'm putting in my resume. I'm going on tour.
It was delicious, but.
Shit was
so spicy. And. Can we say that?
Yeah.
And, the waitress even comes over and starts laughing at him.
Laughing at
cracking up at him. You okay? Like, yeah. Fine. Beads of sweat, but delicious food. You know, coffee in Sydney is also amazing.
Yeah, I have definitely heard that. Wait a second. Was the how long did it last? Like this? Were you just?
No, it was bad.
Way past the dinner.
Yeah, it starts here in the chest and just kind of like. Comes out and up.
Yeah, and then where does it end up?
Yeah, seriously. Let's just ask. It's how terrible was the next day?
Yeah, the next day it's
fire. Walk with me.
Fire.
You know what?
Two Twin Peak references.
Fire sit with me is more like it.
I had to. I'm sorry.
And when you cook, what do you cook at home? What's your Italian specialty?
Mm. All right. Well,
and who taught you how to cook?
My father. My father always cooked. He every night. That's his way of, his creative affection is the cooking. So every night it was like, no matter what, we're eating at home and he's cooking. I'd say one of my favorite dishes is really simple, but amatriciana. So it's you take like guanciale, like like pancetta, but the real deal.
From the cheek.
Exactly, the pork cheek. And a little bit of onions, tomato, He actually used to do it also with anchovy in the tomato sauce, and it was
And have you
delicious?
Do you cook for Dad now? Does he give you tips?
I have. You know, I cooked for him on his birthday, and it was a huge failure.
Why?
He got a new. They recently moved to Williamsburg. They joined the hipsters.
Wow.
My 7-year-old parents.
They're still in line for the pool.
Yeah, they're at the pool right now.
Holding your spot.
Listening to our show on their iPhone. Yeah, like
we actually do have an iPhone app.
Well, you need to talk about
that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Heritage Radio?
Yeah.
Cool.
Just talked about it.
Download it.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Cooking.
They got this beautiful, huge Weber grill. Fantastic, you know? And I thought it'd be great. Pops, I got you. I'm gonna barbecue some fish. Right. That's where it went wrong.
Yeah.
Was barbecue. The fish.
Fish.
The fish. Oh, I'm gonna barbecue some fish.
Yeah.
And no, it was like falling inside the grill. The salmon was raw. It was no.
Yeah, you got to get one of those
the shrimp.
You got to get the fish cooker thing.
I don't know. You know, you guys know. I don't know what
just,
I'm doing.
Or really simple, it's just tin foil on top of.
I should have called you up.
Yeah. So I got one last question before one more song, and it's just like a dot dot dot, and it just goes curses.
Oh yeah,
because I heard things.
There's some things.
Okay. We can talk about it off air.
There's some things.
Is that all we're going to get on air?
There's some things with marble.
Travis Hayden, our good friend, said he saw you play your Curses Techno set at WNC, and he said it was one of the best sets he's ever seen.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
But thank you, Travis.
Yeah, so just letting
you
know.
It was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Not to say that you don't have a record coming out tomorrow and a full tour and everything, but as we know in things, it's just
Will you be reworking the Deep End for a new set?
It's funny you say that. I did rework the Deep End.
Really?
I did. It didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut.
Gotta kill your babies,
I
like
that.
Right?
I could say that now.
Yeah.
No, Deep End? No,
make a cut.
So before you play us out, what are all the nuts and bolts? Where can you go be a troublemaker and all that stuff?
Yeah, come and be a troublemaker at troubleandbass.com. Come and follow me and buy my album tomorrow. Yeah. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah. Where can they get it?
Well, Ultra Records
Boom.
Are putting it out, making it magical. Go to iTunes, go to Beatport, go to Your Tunes, My Tunes, Her Tunes, Our Tunes.
And then record release?
Record release party, July 14th.
Can the average person get in?
At Le Bain.
Le Bain.
Or Le Bain, as us New Yorkers call it.
The pool won't be open, right? The pool will be closed.
The pool will be open.
Oh, it will?
Oh, it'll be...
Wait, Enter the Pool?
Come on. Album's called Enter the Night.
Enter the Pool.
Enter the Pool.
Yeah. All right. What are you going to take us out with?
I have no idea.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for listening to Snacky Tunes. We've got Dive live in studio next week. And don't forget about the Criff Dog Classic on July 4th. Tickets available. Discount Bushwick. And
if you haven't gotten the Snacky Tunes comp.
Yeah.
Snacky Tunes.
Snacky Tunes. Just go to FOTPNYC.com and you can stream it or download it. And it's awesome. Luca, thanks
awesome.
For joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lovely pleasure. It's always a blast.
Yeah, and big shout out to Nighthawk and John Woods and everybody.
Yeah. Seriously.
Huge.
If you live in Williamsburg and you haven't been to Nighthawk yet, you're blowing it.
They have definitely...
They saved it.
They saved my winter. Yeah.
They literally saved my winter.
I also saw Prometheus on the small screen as possible. But it was fun.
But then you got IMAX?
But then they gave me a free ticket.
IMAX or Screen 3.
Well, you know, people used to tell me about
theaters
in LA where they would have tiny, tiny screens because they were just, you know, just to have a movie theater.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I drank a couple beers. It was great.
Yeah.
Face suckers and engineers and...
Don't give it away.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Take us out.
Deep down south in the Dixie streets, shaking to the rolling sun. Round and around, let the river run deep. Hey, I'm not the only one. Wave on a reverend keep, stomping like your feet on fire. Hot red voodoo come rolling through the streets. Let the moon open up the sky. Cold, cold nights, but hey, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. Oh no, I'm not the only one. I've seen dark, dark days and cold, cold nights, but hey, I'm not the only one.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.